Amen and good morning. Whoa, those announcements put you guys to sleep, hey? Yeah, that was a lot. That was a lot. Lots happening. Thanks, Brandon. You killed it. If we have not met, my name is Tim. I'm one of our other English pastors here at ECAC, and we're so excited to be here with you. Yeah, as we kind of kick off a new series for this fall. So to start this off, I wanted to tell a bit of a story about a guy who we've talked about before. And he is important to us. It's about the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, our denomination. So this guy, his name, oh, I want to test you guys, but it's fine. His name is A.B. Simpson, and he has an interesting story. And I want to tell you a little piece about his story. So he was pastoring, and he was actually in New York, and he had gotten this offer to pastor at this, I don't know. I think of it as like a, almost like a mega church. Like he got like an offer for good money. It was a prestigious church. It had a lot of influential people. He was getting paid a lot of money for a pastor. It was a pretty comfortable job that he was offered. But he started to feel that God was challenging him. He started to really, I think, feel a shift in his life and in his spirit. And he actually ended up walking away from that comfortable position and from that offer and from that way of life, really. And he put out a public ad. He was like, is anybody else feeling that God is moving in this way? And they had this little meeting, and there were seven people who felt that God was moving. And he stepped away and stepped out of that comfort and stepped out of that position. And they started a ministry. It wasn't even a church, but they started really this outreach ministry where they were reaching the lowest of the low in their society, where they were reaching out to the brand new immigrants that were struggling to connect, where they were working with prostitutes and the homeless and the sick. And he stepped away from this life of comfort and stepped into this, really, I think, into something more. Psalm 139, it famously says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So today we're going to be basing this sermon series off of something that the Alliance released, off of a prayer guide they released called Shifting the Spiritual Climate. And what this was just a series of spiritual shifts. And what they released was just a prayer guide where you meditate on that. And we want to base this series off of that. Shifting the spiritual climate. What does it look like for us to practically shift spiritually in different ways? And really, as I think about these shifts, that's why I read Psalm 139, I think of it like this, where we ask God, is there any offensive way in me? Shift me, God, to the way everlasting. It's really that shift where God, what is unhealthy in us? Where are we unhealthy in our spirituality? And would you shift us to be more aligned with you? To be in a healthier place, to be more aligned in your kingdom. So today, the specific shift that we're going to be looking at is this. A shift from complacency towards a courageous pursuit of the deeper life and mission. A shift away from complacency and towards a courageous and even passionate pursuit of the deeper life and mission. So we're going to get into what that means. That's a lot of words. It's a lot of very Alliance words. But before we even jump into that, we're going to kind of look at our need. Why do we need to shift? If we're talking about these shifts, shifting away from something towards something, why do we need to shift? And I want to explore that. So have any of you, I hope the answer is yes, have any of you read the book of Acts in the Bible? Yeah, totally. So many nods. So the book of Acts, I think, as we read it, if you haven't read it, it's really the very beginning of the church. It's a story of the very beginning of the church. And if you remember reading it, you're probably reading it, and you're like, whoa, there's crazy things that are happening that seem really normal to these people that doesn't seem very normal to us. They're like walking around and they'll see someone who's never walked before and they'll just pray for them and they'll get up and walk, stuff like that. There's all of these super dramatic stories, and I want you to think about this. What are things that we read about in the Bible that seems normal to them for a follower of God that don't seem that normal to us? What are things that they do and that they experience that we don't? And I actually want you to think about that. Actually, you can even turn to your neighbor and share. What's popping into your head? What? And I'll just give you a minute. Quickly just share. What's something you've read about in the Bible that you're like, whoa, that was amazing, seemed normal to them, but we don't really see much of today? So turn to your neighbor. Share quickly. Okay, that's all the time I'll give you. Thanks for indulging me with that. Maybe as you share, even just quickly, maybe some things are popping up that you're like, whoa, really dramatic things happen in the Bible, and there's kind of a gap between what they experienced and what we experience, right? And some, I'm sure a lot of you shared, like, there's like healings or all these like dramatic things are happening, but maybe even in smaller ways too. Do you ever read and just see how passionately people love to sacrifice and give to others? Or like the radical love we read about, or even in the book of Acts, one story always pops into my head. Two disciples were imprisoned and they're celebrating because they were considered worthy to suffer in the name of Jesus. It's just profound, and maybe we can start to recognize a bit of a gap. And we can start to see why we might need to shift. I want to read another story as we think about our own faith and our own courage of faith. I want to read another story, not from the book of Acts, but from the Old Testament in Daniel, that really highlights, I think, a radical faith. It's in Daniel chapter 3. It says this: furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You guys might know this story. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the flute, the horn, flute, zither, whatever that is, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." The word of the Lord. What an unbelievable example of courageous faith. And as I read that, like, I get convicted. Like, do we have this courage? Do we feel empowered with this type of courageous faith? And I'm bringing up all these examples and we're discussing them so that maybe we can recognize that there's a bit of a gap between what could be and what is, between what we read about in the scriptures and what we experience today. As we reflect on this, I wonder, is God inviting us to something more? Is God inviting us to trust him further? Is God inviting us to take a step or to make a shift in our spirits? What is God inviting us to? Are we missing courage as we read a story like that? And yeah, it's just a story we're reading, but could we ever have a courage and a strong faith like that? Today even, is God desiring to stir a fire and a passion in our hearts? And we can even ask in our own lives, even in our church, in our spiritual lives, have we grown complacent? Have we grown complacent in any areas of our lives? Have we missed God's calling and leading in our lives in some way? Or are we really scared to follow Jesus? Like, does it kind of terrify you to think, well, what if Jesus calls me a little bit too far? What if Jesus calls me to give up too much? What if Jesus calls me to something that I don't want to do? Are we scared that our faith will become too real? Even as we've been practicing listening to Jesus, is that kind of in the back of your head, this fear? What is he going to ask me to do? This example I read in Daniel 3, it's an extreme example, but I hope that really hammers in the point for us that these three men are so committed to God and recognize him so fully as their king that they won't even listen to King Nebuchadnezzar. They weren't worship any idols. They wouldn't even consider doing that, even though it was the cultural norm. They wouldn't even consider it. And I love the response where they say, we don't need to defend ourselves. And later, they even said, even if God does not deliver us, we will not serve your gods. It's a bold faith. Friends, unfortunately, God's focus is not our comfort. The Spirit of the living God, it does not lead us into complacency. God doesn't promise us an easy life or a perfect life or a life full of good things that enrich our life. No, the Spirit of God leads us on a courageous pursuit of him. A courageous life of discipleship and exploring what does it mean to leave everything behind and follow Jesus wherever he goes. So today, ask. Is God inviting us to shift? Today, is God inviting us to shift away from complacency, maybe away from our fears and into something more? Maybe something like we read about in the book of Daniel, a faith like that. So today, even a little later on, we're gonna pray and we're gonna ask God and we're gonna invite him. Asking God, where have I grown complacent? Where have I maybe grown lazy or too comfortable or too scared to follow you? And we're going to shift instead towards him. So if this is what we're doing, and we're shifting away from complacency, we're going to be shifting towards something as well. So we're going to invite God to empower our shift really towards a courageous and a passionate pursuit of something more. And to do that, I want to look at a passage found in the book of Philippians. It's from the Apostle Paul. And this is a beautiful passage that has so much in it. And we'll pull a few points from this. So Philippians chapter 3, starting verse 7. It says this, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings. Becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I did not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, the word of the Lord. I think this is a beautiful glimpse into the life of the Apostle Paul. Maybe you notice a shift in his life, right? All the things from his past life, he considers garbage. He considers them lost. They're nothing. Everything that he pursued before Jesus, it didn't matter because he found Jesus. He's pursuing him. So I want to pull out a couple of points. There's so much in this passage. I want to pull out a couple of points. And the first one that really stands out to me that is so surprising, do you notice here that Paul is not satisfied yet with his faith? Isn't that kind of, so think about, who are we talking about? What's the context? Paul. He's an apostle, which is a big deal. He's like one of the people in charge of the early church. He actually, if you open up your Bible, he wrote a lot of that Bible. We look at Paul, he's like the perfect Christian, right? He had it all together. We would think that. We would think like, Paul is the perfect Christian. We want to be like Paul, which is good. He was a very good Christian. But even here in verse 12, listen to this. This is amazing. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on. The Apostle Paul, this guy, he's a big deal. He's a really big deal. He's a really good follower of Jesus. He looks at his own faith, looks at his own discipleship journey, his own life of following Jesus, and he says, I haven't made it yet. I need to keep pressing on. I need to keep straining forward. And as I read this, I feel convicted, and maybe you do too. Do we ever feel like we get comfortable in our journey of faith? Do we ever kind of feel like, you know what, I'm in a good place with Jesus, I can kind of slow down, or think, you know what, I've been a disciple of Jesus for quite some time, I've kind of made it, you know what I mean? Not even the Apostle Paul felt that. Do we feel like we're in an okay and a comfortable place following Jesus? Paul didn't even feel that, and maybe we shouldn't either. But Paul says he's going to keep pressing on. He's going to keep straining forward and pursuing Jesus more and more. He's not satisfied where he's at. He's not satisfied. Church, how do we need to keep pressing on? Keep moving forward. Yes, we encounter God's love and we rest in his love, but it should drive us closer to God. It should stir up a passion even deeper in our hearts to want him more. How do we need to keep pressing on? And I think this is important to reflect on as individuals, but also as a church. I don't know, I feel like God has been doing such amazing things in our midst. I even think of this last year, right? There's going to be stories about the Cambodia trip that we did. Even last week, remember that? Wasn't that amazing? Just hearing God's voice as a community. God is at work in and through us. That doesn't mean we stop. We press on. We're not satisfied because we have such expectation that God is going to continue to move. That he's going to continue to work and that he will reveal himself in even more amazing ways. So we press on. And Paul, he's talking about pressing on for this prize, right? And he's not super explicit as to what this prize is. But I think when you study that whole passage, it's pretty clear. What is this prize? It's that he would know Jesus. It's really like union with Christ. Having a relationship with Jesus and actually knowing him. And this is actually what even sets Paul free from his past. This is what sets him free from his past because his eyes are fixed on this prize. His eyes are so fixed on Jesus and knowing Jesus more and having a relationship with him. If we're going to make this shift from complacency and into something more, we do it by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, by pursuing him passionately, by not just being happy with where we're at, but wanting more of him. Again, I think we can think of Paul. He's such a good example for us. Think of his life. Think of his history and his past. He'd probably pursued a lot of things in his past. He'd probably gained respect among the religious elites, right? They kind of respected him, but he also probably had a lot of shame about his past. He persecuted the people that he's preaching to now. So he had kind of collected all of these earthly things, but he also had so much shame. But I love in the first part of this passage, he talks about how his past is forgotten, how it's gone, how it's garbage, how he's completely moved on. He's completely shifted because his attention is on Jesus. Because his sole focus was responding on the call of Jesus to follow him. Paul, he was enamored and focused completely on Jesus alone. And this frees us from our past. This frees us from our past of shame. Maybe our past of pursuing earthly things, pursuing status, maybe pursuing money, pursuing all these things. We can be freed of these. And we see that Paul instead is filled with purpose. Filled with purpose. As he not only receives life from Jesus, but he comes to know the one who is life. As he not only comes to know that he is loved, but he comes to know the one who is love. Paul strains ahead. He strains forward and forsakes all else for Jesus. So practically today, as we pursue Jesus, as we courageously and passionately pursue a deeper life, which really this is what the deeper life means, is knowing Christ in a real and a practical way. It changes how we live, doesn't it? If our eyes are fixed solely on Jesus and we move past all else and we look to him, it changes how we live. We become a radically loving people. We become an even more missional people. Our eyes shift from what we want, what I want, to what is Jesus up to. Right, our eyes and our everything shift towards him and we become more loving. We become more sacrificial. We live more like Jesus did. We're less judgmental. We're more forgiving. This is what it means to live with Jesus. So I really want to shift us practically. What is God up to in our midst? As we reflect on shifting from complacency, we're going to ask God, where have we grown complacent? We're going to spend a couple minutes just asking him, where have we grown complacent? And then moving forward into God, where are you leading us to shift? Where are you leading me practically today to shift? God, where do you want to stir a fire of passion in my heart? What are you leading me towards? And we're just going to spend some time just quietly with God, and just meditating on and asking him these questions. And my hope and prayer is that the answers that you receive and what we walk away with is very practical. God, what can I do today or this week? What are you trying to stir in my heart? So why don't we close our eyes and just get into this space with God. So God, today we just invite your presence. As we kick off in the fall and things get busy right now, we just ask that you would come and that you would speak to us. So God, right now, first we come to you and we ask, where have we grown complacent? Where have we grown too comfortable or maybe scared to follow you? And I'll just give you some space to ask that question. wherever you might feel that we have grown complacent or tired, this is a choice. But feel free to just offer that to God. To just lift it up to Him and just say, God, would you take this from me? And start asking, God, if that's what you're bringing up, where are you inviting me to shift? Where does God maybe want me to shift towards? I invite you, as you are exploring that personally, to start asking, okay, God, where do you want to stir a passion in my heart today? Where do you want to stir a passion, maybe a desire? How do you want me to move even practically? Is there someone you want me to reach out to? Something you want me to do? Where are you leading me today, God? God, today we do invite your courage. We invite that you would stir a fire in our hearts, that you would grow our passion and our courage and our faith to know you more, to go out and live like you live, Jesus. So God, would you come and encounter us even here today and this week? In your precious name, amen.